Alec Baldwin, I'm taking a break from watching The Worst Cooks in America on Netflix, which is a great show, by the way. But, all right, so I was driving to a shitty gig in North Dakota. I got pulled over in South Dakota, had weed in my passenger seat. He totally saw it. I got arrested. First, he let me stand there and smoke a cigarette, which was cool of him because I'm a cigarette smoker, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to smoke once I got to jail. So, yeah, he, like, towed my car. I went to jail. I couldn't look at my phone while I was there, so I could only call a bail bondsman who luckily, like, I told him I was a comedian. Like, it all worked out perfectly where he was like, yeah, I'll come get you out just based on your word and, like, contrary to the fact that you have no money or proof of money or anything like that. Like, I didn't have any cards or anything. I don't even know if I had a checking account at the time. Anyway, I missed the gig in North Dakota. The booker was pissed. I ended up having to call my sister to wire me money so I could pay back the bail bondsman that let me out of jail. And then I don't remember if I ever actually paid my sister back or not. I probably didn't because I'm a shitty brother, but she got paid back in love. I gave her $2,000 worth of hugs over the last couple of years. So it probably all evens out in the end, I'm sure. I don't remember what the point of this story was supposed to be. Pot should be legal. I shouldn't have gone to jail that day, and I should have made it to the terrible gig that I was supposed to make it to. All right. Later.
Thank you, Mike Baldwin, for your call and confessional. My rebuttal, my answer, my similar story to Mike's is from this summer, which I kind of shared on the podcast. I don't know how much I've shared with you guys individually, friends that listen, that I also talk to outside of the podcast. And I know I've shared some of it on the podcast. I talked about it with Jay at one point. But what happened was, on my way to Orlando this summer, I had just crossed the bridge into West Virginia, from Ohio into West Virginia, and I got pulled over for an improper lane change. Now, did I improperly lane change? A little bit. I think I pulled from the right lane into the left lane to go around a truck without signaling. And there was a police officer behind me. Now, he didn't almost wreck into me or anything like that, but I think it alerted him. Alerted him enough to pull me over. And my tags expired that month. So technically they were expired, but usually they don't. They usually don't mess with you until the end of the month. But long story short, pulled me over. Five cop cars, at least. One in front, two behind, and two across the street facing the other direction. It's crazy. So he comes up to the car, and I've got all my windows down, hands, wrists on the wheel, insurance license on the dashboard, glove boxes completely open. And long story short, they say they can smell marijuana, and if I have it, to just give it to them. So I gave them what I had in my pocket, and they go back to the car, and then he comes back to me, and he says, okay, well, now's the time for honesty. Do you have any more? We can search the car, or you can just give it to us. And I was like, I might have some more. I might have some more in the back. I know where it's at if you want me to show you. And he was like, yeah, let's go. So I get out of the car, and they pat me down, hands behind my back, and then they let me go to the back of the car, open up, give them my last bit. And yeah, it was pretty freaky the whole time, but it was all in all a relatively painless experience. And I got out of there with a $250 fine. And not even a fine, it's like a ticket, which is one of the lowest priced tickets you can get. It would have cost me a lot more if I'd got that ticket in Georgia. It's different than Mike's story because my cops were cool. I guess the coolest thing that they did, which I don't even know if it's cool, but They asked where I was going and what I did. I told them I was a comedian and I was going to Florida, and they looked me up online. So at one point, one of the cops comes back and starts, he says, he's like, "Oh, do you have any trash bags in the car?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Do you have any bags with any drawstrings in the car?" And I was, "No." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "We're looking for racist trash bags," which is an old joke I used to do, which you could probably still find online, but so stupid. Anyway, they were pretty cool about it, and they let me go, and I got to my gigs without any, just without any weed or whatever. But it kind of, I guess the long-term effect is that now I don't travel like that anymore. I was going on vacation, essentially. I was going to be gone to Florida for over 3 weeks. So, I mean, not even vacation, I had gigs, but I was traveling with just enough, and I was traveling in a way such that had that happened, I basically had rehearsed that in my mind enough times that I knew exactly how to play it, and I probably never get to get away with that again. So it just kind of like the opening to Top Gun when Cougar has the MIG encounter and he loses his ability to walk the razor's edge anymore. I'd say that's what happened to me. I've kind of lost my ability to walk that razor's edge. So traveling is just not, that's not peaceful anymore if I have anything with me. And I wasn't like in a situation where I was like, bong out, and I'm fucking rolling joints while I'm driving. It wasn't anything like that. I think it was just one of those situations where they thought they could get me and they got me. But they could have got me so much worse. I tried to call a lawyer to see if I could get that reduced, and he was like, "This is about as good as it gets, man." He was like, "If you had had other charges like moving violations, like speeding or expired insurance, we might have tried to plead it all down to just this." He's like, "But without any other charges, it really doesn't get any smaller than this." He's like, "This isn't even a moving violation. It's not going to show up on your license." If it had happened in Ohio or Georgia or Florida, I could have gone to prison. And avoiding the search by showing them, taking them to different, having different places to actually take them is part of the lesson here. Because if I had just, let's just say that had I been forced to consent to a search, it would not have gone well. I was able to keep a few secrets by doing it the way that we did it. So thank you to the West Virginia Police Department, and thank you to Mike Baldwin for that call-in confessional. Okay, guys, let's get this episode started. Couple housekeeping things. Have you seen the show Stranger Things? I watched that this weekend. I watched it in one night. It's 8 episodes, I think, and they're all 50 minutes long, and I watched it in one night, and wow, so good. I can't recommend it to everybody because it's a little bit science fiction-y, but it's really kind of in this 80s flavor that just from top to bottom, it could have come out in 1988. Or 82. I don't know when it's stylized to be in, but it's not sort of a, I don't want to ruin it for anybody. It's amazing. It's kind of in the flavor of Black Mirror, which is another thing I think you should watch on Netflix. Not for everybody, certainly not for the children, but psychological thrillers abound and just good storytelling. Thing I like about Black Mirror is that sometimes it takes, I never read the description of the episode. So it takes maybe 30 minutes of a 45-minute episode to figure out what the hell's going on. But that's good for the brain. On my watch list for this week, I saw the trailer for this movie called White Girl. And not for everybody, but it is at least watch the trailer before you watch the movie. That's my advice to you. I'll be at Wiley's this Friday, December 9th. With Jamie Utley and Doug Morgan, and we have a VIP. VIP fun is the pass to get in for free, so it's a door deal. So I hope you all come in and don't pay for tickets, because that's how I'll make the least amount of money. And it's not about money for me. It's holiday season, trying to give away as much as I can in 2016 for free. So this was taken care of for me. VIP fun, Wiley's Comedy Club, this Friday. I think the pass works all weekend. If you want to go see my best good friend Jay Snyder and Jamie Utley on Saturday, that's where they'll be. Then I just picked up a couple more dates. I told you I was off for December. Well, I'm not. December 19th, I'll be at the Columbus Funny Bone, and that's a holiday special extravaganza. I think it's the 19th and the 20th. I'll be there on the 19th, and that's a Monday. And then I'll be at the Dayton Funny Bone for New Year's Eve. I'll be at the Dayton Funny Bone the whole week leading up to New Year's Eve, from Thursday through Sunday. We're doing a special show on Sunday, which is New Year's Day, I think at 6 o'clock. And that should be fun. I'll be there with Mike Malone. Very funny. Mike Malone from the area, should be sell-out crowds. He's a big deal around here. And if you have your own call-in confession, if you would like to call in and leave your own call-in confession, please do. The number is 336-422-6729. Nobody will answer that. It is just a mailbox. Leave your message. I think it's a two-minute cutoff, so try to keep your messages under 2 minutes. Here's the thing. If your message is longer than 2 minutes and you have to call to add on to it, I can edit it together. But you don't have to go listen to this message first. But if you do, just say that. Say first, second, third. We'll cut the limit at 4, 8 minutes. Better be a good story if it's 8 minutes long. But let's go. Let's see what we got. Call in confessions. You don't have to leave your name. If you do, I'll play it. If you do and say don't play it, then I won't. Just don't if you don't want to. But do if you do. And that's how this shit works, folks. Shout out to the six Lauras. Thank you for all of your concerns. Some of you know I've been under duress the whole month of November and part of December with back pains and a pretty major cold in the last 2 weeks. And feeling great again. I had this experience where coming out like the first day where I felt kind of good, I felt amazing and probably overdid it. But here I am now again on my own, going down the only road I've ever known. And like a drifter, I was born to walk alone. I don't even know what I was talking about. But here, this episode, me and Jay Snyder sitting at the Dayton Funny Bone. We chop up what happened this weekend for him at the Johnny Rotten Show. And then we're joined by Matthew David Stanley, which is going to be part two of this episode, which will actually be its own episode, just episode 63. But you'll hear the introduction of Matthew David Stanley at the end of this episode. Stay tuned next week or later this week for his episode. And the last piece of housekeeping news, I have all these notes that I wrote down here, is... we have a website, guys. We are now at totallyunrelated.com. It's not all the way worked out because I'm actually building the website from scratch. But if you were to type in totallyunrelated.com in your web browser, it would take you directly to the webcast site. And you could play that from your office computer or your cell phone directly. I suggest you download the Podbean app and follow us on Podbean or Stitcher, which is my second favorite podcast aggregator. And and then you have iTunes, which I have no idea how it works or anything, but we are available. If you search Totally Unrelated on iTunes, you will find us. We have new cover art. It's me and Jay. Because when I first started this podcast, Jay was just a regular appearer, and now he's a weekly contributor. So it's Totally Unrelated with Jay and Adrian at this point. Or Adrian and Jay, we haven't, none of that. Let's be honest, guys, me or Jay could die any day. That is a very real likelihood. And one of us is going to have to carry the torch. So it's not putting up prenuptial agreements on nothing. You know what I mean? Cause I don't want to have lawyers getting involved if we got to separate this thing all the way out to the end. So that's how it is. Another shout out to my NYC girl, on Instagram, Candace, the fitness guru in Tampa. She's going to be my personal trainer when I get down there. And I wish I was there right now. They're enjoying 80 degree weather. And I am enjoying this 20 degree weather, or the opposite of enjoying it. Without further delay, here is episode 62. Well, we're back.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot. Totally unrelated. Episode 62. We're at the Dayton Funny Bone. We are in the showroom, sitting at the front table, as if we was damn regular patrons.
Of our home club.
Of our home club.
Home club.
Where everything started out for us. It's Tuesday. It's been a crazy November, but we're in December now, and you're coming off a five-day Tom Dustin-style bender.
Yes.
With shows. Let's start from the top. I dropped you off. I dropped Tom off in Jackson, Ohio last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday.
A week ago, basically.
At about 4 p.m.
And then I saw on Facebook you guys were hunting in the morning.
We were hunting in the morning, yes.
And then you had a show that night at the tattoo shop. Let's start from there. How was the tattoo shop show?
It's about this. I'd say the tattoo shop is about 12 feet wide and 20 feet deep.
Uh-huh.
But it's like a...
Big enough to hold two of Shaq's shoes.
And it's a nice stage that goes all the way across, and then they got chairs, and it holds about 20 people. And it was killer.
Really?
Yeah.
And a tattoo shop in Gallipolis.
In Gallipolis, Ohio, yeah.
Is that a regular show that Haggerty puts on? Or
I think, no, but I think they're going to start making it a regular one. And it it was good. You know, I was in Jackson, so we just did it. It was about a half an hour away and went down and... Yeah.
Do they have drinks, or would they...
BYOB.
Nice. That's my favorite kind of show, to be honest. It seems like that way, if you run out or if there's not enough of anything, that's on you, man.
Right.
You know.
And there's a speedway right across the...
Oh, so there's no reason to run out.
Unless you're just broke.
Yeah, there you go.
Can I get a draw?
Yeah.
I need $14 right now.
$14.75. I'm going to get a hot dog or two. I'm going
to get one of them steak tornadoes they got up there.
Man, the food at... Speedway. I used to work at Donato's when they were starting to introduce a expanded food line.
Right.
And I remember thinking, like, it would be one thing if they hired a food service person to take care of all this food.
Right.
But it's the same guy that empties the trash and does the pumps and takes your cash.
Makes the coffee.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, and the guy was, I heard him, the guy who was like in charge of the food line, he was kind of going over with some other trainees about how the whole thing works, and I was just thinking to myself, like, why don't you just get a job at McDonald's, you know what I mean, or at a gas station that doesn't have food, because they don't pay anymore. It's still like a minimum wage job. Now Speedway probably has better benefits.
Yeah,
probably get a little discount.
Yeah, like you get to take the trash out and smoke a cigarette. That's one of the perks.
One time I was at a getting gas, and I had to go inside to pay, and the attendant just looked shook up, like he had just looked shook up. And I was with my buddy from Donato's, and we were like, I was like, "You all right, man?" And my buddy's like, "Yeah, man, you look like you just saw a ghost." He said, "Man, I just went to take the trash out, and I saw a guy getting a blowjob in the dumpster area. Just can't shake it."
He's like, "Where's this dumpster?"
You got to tell me now. Is the dumpster on the left or right?
Where's said dumpster?
Said, no, now, was he charging or was it through a little hole?
Was it another dude?
It was another dude. It was two dudes. And I thought to myself, like, at what point you see something like that shakes you up? It could happen anywhere. You could see it in the bathroom at a restaurant that you're working in or whatever. But at what point do you say, I got to change my life based on something two other consenting adults are doing
right
at your job?
I shouldn't be putting myself in this kind of position.
Yeah. And that has nothing to do with your tattoo shop show. I don't even know I brought that.
No, that's pretty much how it ended.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah. And then more hunting the next morning after the tattoo shop?
Yeah, not the next morning. We went out the next afternoon because we were up pretty late.
Yeah.
And actually the first night we were up until basically daylight, and then just loaded the shotgun up and went into the woods like that.
Did you fire any shots off?
I didn't know. I let
Tommy.
Let Tommy boy.
Did you see anything?
Yeah, we saw. Oh yeah, we saw 40 deer probably throughout the week, but just not a clear shot, or you know, just you know, That's what I was telling him. I was like, dude, you just got to be patient and don't force it, because there's no sense in, like, wounding the deer and it running off and dying. He just, I was like, you know. I was like, he's like, I can't believe we didn't get a deer. I'm like, that's hunting, dude. It's fucking, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
It's like golf. It's like you have that one good hunt and you're hooked for life.
Right. Yeah. It was my cousin, his wife got an 8-pointer. And then, but he said that they were in the, because he's got like this huge, it's basically a tree house on poles that he built, that he hunts out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were both up there, and he goes, hey, you want to mess around a little bit? And she goes, we're too bundled up. We got too many layers on. And he just takes her face mask and lifts it up over her mouth. There. There, we're good now.
Ah, there we go. That was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. Let's get busy.
So we had a hell of a night. I think we blacked out every night.
That sounds good. That sounds about right. And did you stay at your brother's house?
I stayed at my brother's, yeah. We were going to stay in my cousin's camper out just a couple miles from where we were hunting. And instead, we went bar hopping every night.
Did you get Johnny Rotten's on Saturday?
I did Johnny Rotten's on Saturday, and then I had to drive from Jackson, which I had forgot about, up to basically Jack Preston's house up around Greenville to pick up shirts.
Oh.
And so I had like a 6-hour round trip, and I didn't leave till afternoon, and so it was a bitch.
Did you sell some shirts?
So yeah, I sold some shirts. Yeah, I sold probably...
Worth it. Worth the trip.
Yeah, it was worth the trip, yeah.
You got some shirts left over for you?
And I got some shirts, yeah.
Good.
And, Johnny Rotten's was good. There's probably, I'd say, 150 people, which is way less than what I was expecting.
Uh-huh.
And
how many does it hold?
Over 400.
Oh, wow.
But it only seats, like, 250.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was good, and he told us that, like, the first show that we had ever done down there, Johnny said that it was, like, the biggest, that's the most money they'd ever made in a night, is that. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, that's great, you know. But I mean, they were just slamming the cases down and just restocking the, I mean.
How long into your comedy career were you when you did your first show there?
Jared was still doing comedy in 2 years.
Huh.
And then me and Jared both walked with damn near $2,000
Johnny!
Each. And we were like, this is just how comedy is.
Oh, my God,
like,
dude.
So
I
sold like 80 shirts.
Ruined if somebody handed me $2,000 after a show.
Yeah, that was two each. And then, paid the comics fat, too. So, it's a rowdy show.
Yeah, I did it once.
Yeah, you did it once.
I got damn near date raped. And, I just remember it being one of those shows where it was like, you're only going to get a certain percentage of actual listening and then a certain percentage of just rowdiness. And
that's exactly
you gotta
what it
with
was,
the punches.
Dude.
Anybody eat their dick or have a hard time with
no,
it?
No, everybody did pretty good. it's a rowdy fucking crowd.
I know it is.
And it...
We did the Flock on the Block in my hometown, the first show I ever did in Yellow Springs.
Right. I was supposed to do that, and I picked something else up.
Oh, man, you were lucky, bro. I had people. I remember Mike Etch, and I don't think I've ever seen him that scared in my life. And it was one of those things where it's like, you don't have to do this. You know what I mean? Nobody has to know. This isn't getting – we're not getting paid. And I remember Carla was like, I was told I could do 10 minutes. I said, Carla, you do as much time as you want.
Right.
But I need at least 5. She did like 5:01. She was like, I'm done. Fuck this shit. People were upset and stuff, and I'm just like, oh, you can't be upset.
Dude, Etchin commented on a picture of that tattoo gig. And he goes, looks like both of the people there are having a good time-ish or something like that. And I go, yeah, this gig would have scared you off.
Yeah.
Because he's like notorious for like getting in his own head.
Yep. Or deciding that it's not what he wants to do, or he's going first, so now he can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know the Etchin tale. Not
scared,
a bad guy.
Scared, say scared.
Yeah, scared. But the other thing is the thing, and it's not even beef, is how averse he is to breaking balls or having his balls broken.
Right.
Which to me is the number one thing that comics do, or should be able to do, or put up with to a degree.
Yeah, because you only do it to the people that you let. You don't...
Yeah, if I'm breaking your balls, that means we're good friends, buddy.
Yeah, it's a respect.
That's a sign of respect. So, Johnny Rotten's, any no fighting, nothing, no major drama?
Well, the cops were sitting out there, and one of the patrons, no names, decided since the cops couldn't see into the smoking area to launch a beer over the fence at the cruiser.
What a dum-dum.
And so they came through the fucking doors like SWAT.
Yeah.
And almost shut the bar down. But instead they just made it, no drinking outside.
Yeah.
And which I would say, I don't think they have the jurisdiction to do that, but I'm sure they mentioned it to Johnny, and Johnny's like, yeah, fuck.
Shut it down.
Yeah. And, yeah, no.
Did they hit the cruiser?
No, but it was right on it.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It was like, you know, bounced beside it or whatever. Yeah. And they're sitting there with the lights on and saw it coming.
Oh, man. And there it comes.
The dude that did it, it was very fucking hilarious. He's like, dude, they can't.
Yeah.
They can't. They don't know. They're not going
to
know it's me.
I've wanted to do this for so long.
Oh, dude, he is fucking hilarious. And then a fight kind of broke out. A couple chicks, and then she got arrested. One of them got arrested. Not the one that should have got arrested, but the other one got arrested and got $180 ticket. It's a buddy of mine's girlfriend.
Wow.
And then what else? What else happened there? So Dale does this thing when he's bringing me up, and he goes, Jay hasn't had very many shots tonight, so why don't you guys help him out while he's up here? And here he is. And so here they come.
Here's the kiss of death himself.
Yeah. You know, I was actually, you know. I'm
like, yeah. Good call.
It's a good move,
right,
man.
It's but a good look.
They probably not quite 10 shots on stage.
Oh.
I mean, probably it probably was because some of them were doubles and shit like that.
Oh.
But, and one of the girls that rode with Lori down to the gig, with Lori Graves, one of her friends, she brought me up a shot, and they're just coming so fast that I stopped just doing them as they come and just kind of like had to stalk them.
Right.
And then she brought one up, and I go, ooh, that one's going to have a cold sore on the top of it. I can tell that. What? I was just busting her balls a little bit. I'd never seen her. I didn't know her. She gets drunker and fuck and bent out of shape about it. But she goes up and gets in Jared's face thinking that it's me. And so she's like got her finger in his face and shit. And so my sister-in-law turns around and sees this. So Tabitha goes over and she's like, hey, bitch, why you got your finger in my fucking husband's face for or whatever? And she's like, you know.
Yeah, like, doubly do.
Yeah, I'm like, she's like, what? And so she's like, he said that I had fucking cold sore. I've never had a cold sore in my life. And
but anyone
they were like, it was a joke. Just relax. And then Tom goes, yeah, lady, calm down. Don't get yourself all worked up. That's what causes them to flare.
Of course, Tom makes it better with his astute observation.
And then, so there were two black people there, Keith Irvin and this girl that started a fight with my buddy's girlfriend. And it's getting late.
She didn't come with Keith Irvin.
No.
I've never seen him with him. Well, yeah, but not with him. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, so she tells Tom, she's like, you should quit smoking or something like that. And she's a kind of a big girl or whatever. And Tom goes, yeah, you need to quit eating at McDonald's.
Oh, shit.
And she goes, well, I don't eat at McDonald's. I eat at KFC or Wendy's. And fuck, well, that changes everything.
Well, that changes everything. I apologize for insinuating you ate at a healthier place.
I didn't know you. Yeah, I didn't know you did. Yeah, you liked a good home-cooked meal from KFC.
Oh, man, KFC's one of the worst. I worked there. There's nothing in there that, I mean, like, unless you eat the buffet and get a salad, right, which is good luck finding a salad on a KFC buffet.
Ugh. I like KFC.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It'd probably be my favorite restaurant if I wasn't allergic to poultry.
Right.
But having worked there, so, like, I worked at KFC, and I used to, like, because it was so close to my house in Yellow Springs, we'd eat there, and I would have, like, a ham sandwich. They had different things that I could eat. But after working there, I couldn't eat there anymore. The only thing I could eat there was just biscuits. That was the only thing I could stomach. And but I worked at Donato's for even longer, like, off and on for damn near 9 years. Not, like, 9 years continuous. Probably, if you lined it up continuous, probably only about 5 years. But I still love the fuck out of pizza, bro. There's not a pizza that I mean, like a frozen pizza, delivery, DiGiorno, I don't give a fuck. I'll eat fruit pizza, man. I don't care who makes it.
Hot pepperoni, Hot Pocket, I don't give a fuck.
Exactly. I've gotten those from the gas station.
Pizza rolls, fucking that.
Geno's, Ticino's, whatever you got.
You know, they make those in Jackson County.
Is that right?
Indeed. I used to work at, well, it used to be Pillsbury. I don't know what it is now, but yeah. So I worked on the sanitation line.
So, oh, we talked about that one, your first real job.
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. So back then it was called Louis Gino's, and then it's Michelini's, and now it's like Bellagio or something.
Huh.
Which they just, a buddy of mine's a maintenance supervisor over there. We were over at his house shooting pool the other night. I've won $30 shooting pool in the last 2 days.
Is that right? Yeah. I didn't know you were a stick man.
I didn't either. My buddy says they had just sold this Michelini's or Louis Gino's, whatever, Bellagio, for like $338 million.
Wow.
5 years later, they just sold it again, $1.1 billion with a B.
Wow.
He goes, man, the vice president of the fucking plant and shit is just walking around whistling and just fucking, hey, Justin, good day. Keep up the good work. Because they're getting fat-ass bonuses.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think because he's a supervisor, I think he will end up getting a decent one too. But nothing like a vice president is getting on a billion-dollar deal.
That's crazy, especially if you took it to like, you know, three times what its valuation was when you bought it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did they do? Like replace the meat products with styrofoam? Like, this is saving us all kinds of money.
But he said there's like five or six investors that bought it back then. And so, I mean...
Well, you got inflation, and then you also have, I always wondered what it would be like. It's like, imagine you work, you become the CEO of a straw factory, like a bendy straw factory or whatever. And it's like, all right, we need to make more money with the straws. It's like, how do you do that except for using less plastic or, you know, firing more people? Or I just always wondered, but like a food line, like pizza rolls, I imagine there's all kinds of fudgery you can do to make the numbers play jazz. Look who walks into the building. It's Matthew. David Stanley.
It's the magic man himself.
He showed up out of nowhere. It was like a puff of smoke, and then him walked in.
What's up, buddy?
How's it going, man?
Good to see you, brother. It's funny how you guys did a black handshake, and I went straight white with him.
That was kind of funny. That was weird.
That's like that
Bernie Sanders. We're a good pair, you know?
Did you see that Bernie Sanders video where he's walking up on
stage?
Oh,
dude, I can't
straight handshake. Oh, I love it.
Oh, just fucking.
Yeah.
Smooth.
That has to be an edit, but it's so fucking funny.
Oh, it's fucking good, dude. I watched it over. How about the dude? Did you see the dude punch the kangaroo?
About 20 times.
The greatest fucking thing.
I didn't see this, no.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this kangaroo, basically, it's in Australia, obviously. This kangaroo has, like, this guy's dog in a headlock.
You can't even really tell that's what's happening until the dude gets over there.
So this guy takes off fucking running or whatever to scare it, so the fucking dog runs off, and then him and the kangaroo square up, and he just fucking, I mean, no hesitation, just cracks this fucking kangaroo right in the mouth. And the kangaroo, like, sticks its hands up like this.
Like, whoa, bro, I didn't know it was fighting like that. But the kangaroo did kind of, you know, did kind of like,
oh, yeah.
You know, maybe like one of those 1930s sort of rope-a-dope sort of moves.
Yeah.
And he was
motherfucker, just
the fighting Irish little pose thing.
Well, the thing about a kangaroo's got them short little arms, but that's not how a kangaroo gets you. Kangaroo puts all his weight on his tail and then hits you with those bottom legs.
Yeah, we've all seen that episode of Looney Tunes. Yeah. Where motherfucker.
Yeah, bro, that motherfucker
that's
flying.
I'm sitting there watching, like, oh, this dude is about to get fucked up.
That's what I was kind of
hoping. It fucking hits it right in the mouth.
And that headshot was just like, it was like Apollo Creed or something. His mouthpiece went flying.
Oh, the moment when you realize you're about to square up with a fucking kangaroo, and this dude did not hesitate.
No. Like, the dog was free at that point. He could have made a run for it, but he was like, I'm going to show you what you get for fucking with my bitch. That's a man and his dog right there.
Oh, it's fucking hilarious. I got to get out of here.
All right, Jay Snyders. Thanks
my
for
my daughter's
going to
get taking her permit test.
All right, man.
Thanks for filling in, buddy. She's 16 already?
She's 16 in August. God, she's just been fucking around.
It's like 15 and a half. You can.
Yeah, she could have got him like a year ago.
Scared of you, buddy.
Well, when she hears this fucking Zeus's chariot come pulling in. Right? That truck still don't have a fucking exhaust on it. All right.
See you, man. See you, Jay Snyders.